The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Is this teaching a blessing to you?
Lay hold.
Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. Lay hold on eternal life. And we've been looking at different lay holds. We've looked at how to lay hold of the promises of God that is given to you in the scriptures. You know, one of the things we're doing with this teaching is to let you see that God is sovereign, all right, but then He allows you, to make a choice. And I saw a preacher give a very interesting illustration about this, and I felt it was really good. That's about how much authority man has on the earth. Right? And the preacher said, how many of you, you know, the Bible says, the heaven is the Lord's, He said, the earth has He given to the sons of men. Right, so man runs this earth. That's why we say, if you want the promise of God, you have to lay hold of it because it's on the earth. If you want the oppressor's answer, you have to lay hold. Somebody's going to say, why can't God just give it to us? The reason is because God owns this earth quite all right, but it is man that runs the earth. And the question the preacher gave is very interesting. He said, how many of you are a tenant, you have a landlord, right? Can your landlord, maybe you're just sitting and watching television in the evening, your landlord just walks into your house, goes to your fridge, collects the remaining egusi soup that is there, warms it and says, I was just very hungry today, and begins to eat. What are you going to do? Think about that. Just comes, but it's his house. Why are you angry? You realize, even though it is his house, because he has given you that house by an agreement, he doesn't have liberty around that house again until you let him. This earth is the Lord's, quite all right, but he has given it to the sons of men. So even for the Lord to operate here, we have to allow him. I get what I'm saying now. That's why we pray. That's why even though God can will success for someone, the person has to learn how to hold it. Because God will not force it on man. Because even though he owns the earth, the running of the earth is... Are you following what I'm talking about? And that's a very strong illustration. Now, by the time you are stopping your landlord from accessing the house, is it still his house? It's still his house. But at that moment, it doesn't have a right because the house has been leased to you. Just like this property we are using now. Right? Once you pay for a property, the landlord can come in, you know, in a way you don't like, and you walk him out. That's if you're not being stupid. But as a part in the landlord tenancy law that allows the landlord to do certain things if you're misusing the property. Do you get the point? But then, he can just come in and begins to say, sir, please leave my house. And you have every right to say that. And that's how it is on the earth. That God owns the earth. But you see, a man can actually tell God, don't interfere in my business, and God will leave it. Because even though he owns this entire earth, this earth is on lease. On lease to Adam, to man. Are you following the point? So it is man that runs this earth. Which is why it's man that runs the earth. That's why we say things like, you must learn how to lay hold of power. All this that God has given you, he won't force it on you. You must learn how to stretch your hand and take it. And say, if God wills it for me, I'm going to have it. Are you following me? And today I'm going to be, you know, one of the things that this teacher has been doing to us, if you've noticed, I'll be using this teaching to prepare you for Zoe. If you've been paying attention, I get to the point. Yes. We've looked at laying hold of God's promises, laying hold of prophecies when they're spoken. You know how Zoe, prophecies will be spoken over us. We must learn how to lay hold of them so that the meeting will not be a wasted meeting for us. So it will not just be yet another meeting we attended. We must learn how to lay hold of things, prayers, answer to prayers. We're going to pray a lot out of the way. Now you must learn how to lay hold of those prayers. Now you not just come and pray and waste another 1 hour, another 3 hours, and then you go home and you had nothing. That's why I've been doing this teaching. Are you following what I'm saying? On Sunday, I told you how to lay hold on power. Why? Because I'm expecting that after so way, many things will happen to you and you go out and manifest power of God. You must know how to lay hold of these things. So now I begin to share with you how to lay hold of impartations and laying on of hands. Impartations. What are impartations? That act where people lay hands on you and speak over you. How do you maximize that experience? You know, there are people that all they needed in their life was just one impartation and their lives changed. And there are people that you have to keep laying hands on them and laying hands on them and lay, and yet nothing changes. And it's not because the hands being laid are empty. Sometimes they are. Right? But if it has worked for one person, it then means it's not empty. But let me say this to you because I don't know whether I will get to that today. Even if the... Now hear this, don't miss it. Even if the hands laid are empty and the word spoken was even spoken by a not so serious man of God, if you know how to lay hold of those things, it will still work for you. A perfect example is Eli and Hannah. By the time Hannah got to the temple, Bible makes it very clear. Bible said the word of the Lord was scarce. God was not speaking to Eli, he was speaking through Eli again. So Eli was just a ceremonial priest. He was no longer, let's use these words, he was no longer anointed as it were. Are you getting the point? But then that same Eli met Hannah and told, in fact, to tell you how carnal Eli was, Eli saw someone praying. The first thing that came to his mind is, why did you drink by this time of the morning? The guy was so carnal. He wasn't thinking about prayer. And Hannah said, no, I didn't drink. He's just that I'm praying. He said, I need a baby. And he said, by this time next year. Now, this was spoken by a not so serious man, a man that God has left. Are you following me? And Hannah held on to it. But next day, she had a baby. Because if you know how to hold on to words spoken, you will still have your results. Are you following me this evening at all? So even when you think, the man that left me is not that powerful. If you know how to lay hold on hands laid, impartations, prophecies spoken, you will see that the words you speak will come, the things spoken over you will come to pass. Impartation in this context is, we're teaching on how to be, we're describing how or when you are blessed or hands are laid on you by a higher person. It's good I mentioned that. Hebrews 7 verse 7 tells us the principle of impartation. He said, without contradiction rather, the less is blessed of the better. So it is when someone that is better in that context, maybe higher than you spiritually, is not just about your friend praying with you. When someone, maybe a pastor, puts sense on you, prays for you, and all of that. How do you lay hold of whatever that is happening in that moment? It's very important to look at that. So impartation is to be blessed by a higher person. It can be accompanied with laying on of hands. It can be. Not all the time, but it can be. Because I can actually impart all of you without laying hands on you. Right? Now, how does it work? It can be or it may not be. But one thing that it's always accompanied with is prophecy. So when hands are laid on you, words are spoken over you. It is the presence of speaking those words over you by a higher person that is called impartation. The person is trying to impart you with something. Are you getting the point? You see scriptures like 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift. Watch that. That is in thee. Which was given thee by what? No. Why are you reading your Bible? By what? By prophecy. With the laying on of hands. The key thing that happened was prophecy. But the prophecy was accompanied with laying on of hands. That's impartation. I get the point. Prophecy. So whenever hands are laid, impartation happens, it is prophecy happening. What is prophecy? Spoken word. Inspired utterance by the Holy Ghost. You find that also in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, stir up. I put in the remembrance that thou stir up the gift which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So he said, gift which is in thee by my hands being put on you. So Paul laid us on Timothy. The presbyter laid us on Timothy. And both of them communicated gifts to Timothy. And how did they communicate? They laid hands and they spoke. So impartation is that time where we come to meetings and we say, we're laying hands on you, we're laying hands on you. Or we tell you things like, do you want it? Yes, take it. So hands can be laid, hands may not be laid. I can see the point. But the general thing is that someone that is of a higher spiritual authority in that context is speaking over you, praying over you, releasing something and imparting you with something. Now you must know how to use it, how to take hold of it. Before I get to know how to lay hold of it, let me even explain this to you. There is a lot that you are looking for in life, I say it all the time, that is tied to impartations. You see, it's good that we know how to pray. And I train you here to know how to pray. But you must know that there are some things that impartation brings to you. It's a biblical principle. It doesn't remove the place of personal prayer. It doesn't replace it. But it will aid it. Are you following me, friends? It can aid it. So much so that there are things you can be praying about. And you're praying when hands are laid on you and words are spoken over you. Those things come faster. Let me give an example of, or some examples of how impartation was used in the Bible. You see impartations or laying on of hands used to minister healing. Jesus laid hands on people and they got their healing. In Matthew 8 verse 25, we see laying on of hands to minister healing. Matthew 8 25 quickly. He said, and his disciples came to him. Is it Matthew? Hallelujah. Mark 8:25, forgive me. Correct that to your notes. Mark 8:25. He said, Mark 8:25. He said, after that, he put his hand again upon his eyes. So this guy was blind. And the guy was restored. So Jesus healed a blind man by putting hands on him. That's impartation. So Jesus put hands on him and imparted him with healing. Other places, you see places like Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. The Bible tells us, and when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands and upon every one of them and healed them. So he laid his hands and of course imparted healing unto them. Are you following me, friends? In Acts 28 verse 8, we see Paul getting to an island and meeting a man that was sick. Right? It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul, give me NLT because see which is a bloody flux, so I understand the sickness. It happened, Paul's father was ill with fever and dysentery. What is dysentery? I had to read it because sometimes when you use simpler translations, the Bible looks real to you. When I say bloody flux, you say, oh, who knows what to do? He had dysentery. What is dysentery? Bloody flux. But I said, Paul went in and prayed for him, laying his hands on him, he healed him. That is, he put his hands on him and imparted healing. So you see, hands can be put on you and healing is ministered. Now, there are cases where you are even a believer. It's not as though you cannot pray. It's just a scriptural principle that hands can put on you. I can show you other places in Luke 13. And I think verse 13, Luke 13 verse 13, Bible immediately laid hands on her. What was the case here? A woman that was bent over. Give me the previous verse. The woman was bent over. Hallelujah. And she had this spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed. So she was like this. She was bowed together for 18 years. But thank you, Jesus. He put his hands on her and through her hands, healing was communicated. Or he said rather, healing was communicated. And the woman got healed. So we're seeing, any of us can be used to communicate healing. Are you getting the point? So when hands are laid on you, healing can be imparted. If I take a step forward, I can tell you, when hands are laid on you too, we can use any of us to impart even material and physical blessing. Yes. You know, in Genesis 27, we read about Esau and Jacob. And how that they were clamoring and fighting for who their father will put hands on. And in verse 27, eventually Jacob took that blessing. But look at the blessing he blessed Jacob with. Bible says he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord had blessed. Now follow this. Therefore God, look at the blessing he gave Jacob by laying on of hands. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. Let nations bow to thee. Be the Lord. You see, so that blessing of finances and what have you, right, came upon him by hands being laid on him. So actually, hands can be laid on you and your financial life will turn around. Oh, come on, I've experienced that. I follow him. Can you power this mic a little? I'm trying to struggle a little. Struggling a little. So, hands can be laid on you. So, God, Jacob put hands, or Esau, Isaac rather, put hands on Jacob and pronounced a blessing upon him. Now, this wasn't healing. This was about fatness, about abundance. I get the point. So, we see, hands can be laid and meat is imparted. He said, let be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow to thee. Cause be everyone that caused thee. Blessed be he that blessed thee. So it's not only healing that is communicated. Are you following me, friends? So we can lay hands on you and speak over your finances and it will work. But you must know how to catch it when it happens. Are you following me this evening at all? We can also use that, as I'm already showing you, for instance, we can use the name of hands to shape people's future. I mean, hands can be laid on you and your future will be reorganized. An example is what we are seeing here now. Another example is Genesis 49. Jacob called all his children, 12 of them, and spoke by prophecy to all of them, spoke about their future. In Genesis 49, Jacob even spoke about the fact that Jesus will come from the tribe of Judah. He said in Genesis 49, when he said the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawmaker, until Shiloh comes. He was talking about the coming of Jesus. Are you following me, friends? He prophesied about Reuben, so by prophecy put it on them and shaped all their future one by one. So when we are laying hands in church or we are doing impartation, it's not a joke. It's not very righteous. If you know what is going on at that moment. So Jacob gathered them and one by one began to speak over them. Number one, number two. And if you read history, everything he said about them happened to them. Everything he said about them. Are you following me this evening at all? So we can use that to shape. One of the things that, you know, might be lacking in people's life is maybe they don't have anybody to bless them. Make sure you have blessers in your life. That's how we teach parents, for instance, that from time to time, if you learn this principle, you should be able to lay hands on your children. Do it from time to time and speak over them. And bless them. Jacob did that. In fact, when Joseph, right, remember Isaac did that to Jacob. Jacob did that to his children. When Joseph saw his father, he brought two of his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, Daddy, do lay hands on them. And he spoke over them and shaped their future. That's why there is no tribe of Joseph. Right? But there is a tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. These are two Joseph's children. So Joseph had two slots. He's not following me at all. And it was by that impartation that those things changed. Those things happened. None of Joseph's brothers brought his own children to say, Father, please put something on them. I get what I'm saying now. So people's future can be decided. The way you see here has been laid. Many things are happening that you don't know. Some are receiving healing. Some are receiving financial. Some people, their future is being shaped. I follow what I'm saying now. Being shaped. So I don't play with this. It's not a joke. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. There are people you go to, those days when we were growing up, I didn't attend a very charismatic church, you know, like that. So there are a few times when we see all those power move. You know, power move. It happens a few times. And it's always maybe when there's an invited speaker or there's a special program. So when it's happening, we just stand aside and we're just watching. And that's what people still do today. People are falling, you're just watching. Hey. You are missing out on something that can actually change your entire generation. That's what they're doing. Are you following me? So hence, that's why you notice when Jesus came to the earth, Bible tells us that parents were bringing their children. I think Matthew 19 verse 13. Now those children were not sick. Those children were not broke. But those parents were bringing their children for him to put hands on them. And they were not sick. And where did they learn that from? They learned it from Joseph. Is that why he brought Ephraim and Manasseh for the father to put hands on them? They learned it. That's why once in a while, wise people carry their children to their pastor and say that they put hands on him. Are you following me? You know, there was a particular story of a boy that was very, very dull. Real life story. He was so dull that they recommended him for, you know, it was almost a special needs child. You know what I mean, a special needs child? A child that was that dull. Couldn't pick up. You know, these primary 2, primary 3 children, they can't still read, you know. Very dull. The other siblings were doing about him, he was very dull. So the result they collected the previous term, the record or the report on that result was, it's good that this child should be taken away from this school and taken to a special needs school. And these people are members of Deeper Life. Are you following me now?
Yes.
So one day after the service, the father took the kids, and you know, Baba was just walking around. They didn't tell Baba about the problem. And you know, that's why you notice I have a habit of whenever I see our children come around me, I must bless them. Someone said I learned it. And he just told Baba, please put hands on them. He said, why? He said, just bless them. He put hands, be blessed. And that was all. They returned back. When they brought back the child, the school was like, we've told you. He said, well, try him for one more time. He said, there's nothing with it. He said, just try him for one more time. That one more time was everything. He was competing with the best in the class. What happened? Hands were laid. You are blessed. Are you following me? There are many things we play with you who actually don't know what it means. Amen. So they brought little children for Jesus to put hands on them. And of course the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, don't do that. Verse 15. What did he do in verse 15? He laid his hands on them and departed them. So all of them. I can almost predict to you that, you know, these children he laid hands on would have gotten born again much later. Because many things happen. You know, there is no time hands are laid that it is wasted. No time. It's possible that these children that he laid hands on, many years after, they featured maybe in the book of Acts. It's possible that many of them became Paul's followers and Peter's followers much later. There is no time hands are laid that nothing happens. No time. I'm running out of myself. But I'll still come back to that statement very, very shortly now. So we've seen it being used to shape people's future. We also see it being used to communicate spiritual gifts. Now, hear this. Even though we all have the Holy Ghost in us, when hands are laid, hands and words spoken can be used to activate those gifts, steer them up. Just like I was talking to you on Sunday, that we can use laying offense to jumpstart people's battery. Do you remember that on Sunday? To jumpstart. So there are people, so some of you that might never have prophesied in your life, but hands can be laid on you and the gift of prophecy begin to bubble from your inside. So it can be used to communicate spiritual gifts. I can show you a few examples. We already saw 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. It said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, that was given to thee by prophecy with the laying of my hands. So there was a gift that Timothy received when hands were laid on him. So it can be used to communicate spiritual gifts. So actually, hands can be laid on someone, and someone that has never prayed in tongues will start praying in tongues. Hands can be laid on someone, and someone that has never prophesied will begin to prophesy. Hands can be laid on someone that has never healed the sick will begin to heal the sick. It can be used to stir up spiritual gifts. We find this also for us in the Old Testament. In Numbers 27 and verse 18, we read about how Moses laid hands on Joshua. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man, I like this verse a lot, a man in whom is the spirit. Now he said he has the spirit, said, but lay hands on him. Now, because of our time, I'm going to jump to chapter Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. So you now see the result of this laying of hands. Number 10, lay hands on him. Look at the result. The Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? Why? Read with me. Why? For Moses had laid his hands upon him. So wisdom was working in Joshua. Because Moses laid hands on him. There are things you don't learn from school. Some things are taught, others are caught. There are things you can never learn, no matter how many books you read. Things you just have to catch them by the Spirit. And I wish these teachings are done again and again around the body of Christ so that they can know the value of these things. Because we lay hands almost every day in many places, body of Christ, it's now commonized. It's now commonized. They say he was full of the Spirit of wisdom. Not because he went to a special school. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So actually, you can live Zoe full of wisdom. Oh, are you following me this evening at all? You can live Zoe full of wisdom. They say, you sound so wise. You are making what the joint say because hands were laid on me. And that will be somebody's experience. So you notice you can be able to communicate spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Can show you many of these things in the Bible. You know, in Acts chapter 6, of course, verse 3, verse 4, tells us about how they picked certain men to serve tables. To serve tables. That means they were picked to serve in church. And then in verse 6, the Bible tells us that hands were laid on them. The apostles laid hands on them and prayed for them. Then jump to verse 8. What was the result of that? Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Hence you are laid on them. Not for miracles. Don't miss that. Are you following me? Let's let them in verses. Not for miracles. Not for any man. Just like we make you. You're not made an usher. When I say before you start working as an usher, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. And from there, Stephen began to work miracles. By the time you get to chapter 8, you meet Philip. Philip was the first person, and I think the only person you find in the Bible, that is recorded, that the Spirit carried from one location to another. He became extraordinary with the miraculous. Hands were laid on him. So hands can be laid on people, and certain gifts begin to work in their life. They just need to know how to lay hold of it. Because I tell you what I've seen in the Spirit, many impartations are wasted. Many hands laid are wasted. Because wasted, I mean, those they don't ever fulfill why God brought it. So you must know what to do with it. Are you following me this evening? I've already noted, I want to say that again. Whenever hands are laid and words are spoken, something happens. The word is whenever. Whenever. Whenever hands are laid and words are spoken, something happens. I'm going to say this to you. I know it's not going to make sense to you, but if you're not very spiritual, but just have it in your mind when the time comes. If you understand what's laid on offense and what is impartation, right? If a man of God offers you $5,000 and offers you, let me lay hands on you, please take the laid on offense. Don't be stupid though. Don't say, let me see $5,000 first. In fact, if you ever do this thing I said, I'll get to you very shortly. The laying of hands will so work. You know why? You obeyed one principle of value. You place value on the partition. It will work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whenever hands are laid and what has spoken, something happens. Why? Why is that so? To start with, Jesus said it will happen. Jesus told us in Mark 16 verse 17 that we should lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. That verse is my confidence. There is no way. That's verse, go to verse 18. There's no way I lay hands on a sick person and I'm not expecting the sick to be healed. I'm expecting. I cannot lay hands on another weapon. Jesus said that we lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. So every time hands are laid, something happens. I say it again. Every time hands are laid, something happens. Every time hands we are ever laid on anyone in the Bible, something happened. In Acts 8 verse 17, they laid hands. Peter and John came. And they laid hands on the Samaritans and they received the Holy Ghost. Every time hands are laid, something happens. In Acts 19 verse 6, Paul laid hands on those 12 men and they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Acts 19 verse 6, not verse 17. Acts 19 verse 6, Paul laid hands on those 12 guys and the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues. There is no time hands you are ever laid in the Bible and nothing happened. In fact, I've shown you a particular experience where Eli, even at the time, Bible says the Lord has left him and all of that, he still spoke words and something happened. So every time hands are laid and words are spoken, things happen. Let me say this. Even if something doesn't happen significantly in the physical, don't forget, whenever hands are laid, something happens. You know, there was a man just laid hands on two times. Mark 8 verse 24. The guy was blind. And Jesus laid hands on him once and asked the man, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees." Now, what does that tell you? Something happened. But for some reason, the thing that was deposited was not enough. Now, that's not a good way to put it. I'm just being loose with the words. I get to the point. But just laid hands on him again. Now, it doesn't mean it's the first time nothing happened. Something happened every time we lay hands and laid. So listen, if you have an issue and I lay hands on you once, three times, 10 times, every time I put my hands on you, something happens over that matter. Are you following the point? Every time. Because I'm obeying scriptures. So once I do so, always know that something happens every time hands are laid. What you now need to learn is, how do I lay hold of what is happening? So if I'm going around meetings and I'm laying hands, I'm waving my hand, do you know, if I stand before the choir, I say, "Do you want it?" They say, "Yes." And I say, "Boom." And there are 20, 17 people fall, three stand. If that three still know how to receive, something's happened to them. They must know how to receive. You can also fall and nothing happens to you. Are you following the point now? Are you against falling? No, I am for falling. I'm going to teach you in the Bible today. Falling is a thing in the Bible. People should fall. Say amen. I believe that. So you must know how to lay hold. You must know how to lay hold of the power of God. Lay hold of, if it is healing, make complicated, you must know how to hold it. If it is whatever, know how to hold it. Because every time hands are laid, something is happening. I mean, even if I'm casually passing you and I put myself and say, "You are blessed," something happens that moment. Hands cannot be laid and nothing happened. Because you can't obey the Bible and nothing happened. You can't obey scriptures and nothing will happen. It's not possible. And that's my confidence. We went to pray for somebody, we learned to the person, nothing happened. It's a lie. Something happened. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and in quotes, nothing happened. He just left. The next day, the fig tree dried up. Something happened. Are you following me, friends? So you must know how to lay hold. There is no impression that is wasted. Know how to lay hold to receive what has been given. I'll show you some principles. Number one, I already mentioned that it's the principle of value. How do you lay hold? Value. You must value that impartation, value the act. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Some people say, but these laying offenses are just one of those things that happen. Sometimes they even come to the house and you're even touching your head. I see people who try to lay hands and they say, "I not go fall." You know, when there is no value for an impartation, let me tell you, why impartations worked a lot in the Bible was because they had a lot of value for those things. An example for instance is Esau and Jacob. They were fighting. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob deceived Esau. They were not fighting for properties. They were fighting for hands that will be laid. Every time I read that, it shocks me because our generation has misplaced priority. Each of our generation will be fighting for land. Because, come on, Isaac was a rich man. I can imagine when hands were laid on Jacob, and Jacob now left all the properties. Think about that. Jacob received protection and left all the properties and ran away. All the properties. In other words, I've collected the blessing. Carry the money, carry the lands. I'm going. I thought Esau would have been happy. They say, "I'll carry blessing and go. Yeah, have land." The Bible says he cried. Hebrews said he sought it with bitter tears. Are you following the point, friends? With bitter tears. That's Hebrews 12 verse 17. So he was crying. Not because he lost money. So if you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully, with tears. NLT says, bitter tears. Bitter tears. Like, you know that it's tears and it's bitter tears. So what were you crying? I bet you are so childish. So because there's no less way I pray for, that's why I cry. Ha. People are doing, you church people, people overdoing this thing. You don't you have hand? You lay us on your own self and talk now. Don't you have hand? Is it not hand? It's not the same thing. I feel what I'm saying now. It's not the same thing, no. Not every hand is the same. You get the point? Nishi have on. If you didn't get it, leave it. You shouldn't actually get it. And if you're not Igbo here, don't feel left out. Even half of the people here did not still get it. Even the Igbo people, so nobody got anything. Praise God. All this, all of us are the same. It's not true. So Esau was crying. The Bible said when Jacob, where's the letter on Jacob? Jacob left the house. The Bible said with only a staff. That staff is not spiritual. Walking stick. Because I was going to trek for long. He said, I passed over Jordan with only my walking stick. Only my walking stick. Only my staff. Bible says he returned two full companies. Because he didn't leave with only walking stick, Jacob. You left with something. You know, you must learn to place value on certain things. So when some of us fly, so I'm going to fly from here to wherever for hands to be laid on me. He said, ah, hey. Oh, do you know people used to do this thing? The church is brainwashed. This Christianity, people are being brainwashed. You know, the world really will not appreciate what they don't see. All they care about is the result. You know the thing about the petition? It brings physical results. It's not the same thing the devil is doing out there. A guy wants to go into business or wants to start stealing or anything, he will go to one babalawo, bring things, so the babalawo can just do something over him. It's the same thing. Because he realizes that he needs more than physical power to get the job done. I get the point. One very popular sort of interpretation in this country is really the story of Pastor Deboye and his meeting with Kenneth E. Hagin. Many years ago, so they went to Tulsa as a young guy. He wasn't even a general overseer. He used to accompany his spiritual father, you know that story, to, you know, interpret to him from Yoruba to English. Because the man was not learning, but the man had value for the word of God. So he wanted to learn. So, can I tell you, he'll be teaching. He will sit beside him and interpret for him. And after the meeting, he began to fight and struggle to see Kenneth Hagin. Because he said they had seen many stories and they got to Tulsa for real. They saw miracles. They saw things practically. So he began to fight to seek. And they told him, you can't see him. There are thousands of people from all over the world. He said, I need to see him. So finally, Brother Hagin gave them audience to see him. And because he said he wanted to see him, many Nigerian young pastors followed him too. So they entered there. And the man was just seated. He said, what do you want? The first person said, you know, I want the permission to distribute your tapes all over Africa. They said, okay, you? I want people to distribute on magazines all over Africa. They just said what they wanted. They called Pastor Deboye. Deboye said, well, I want whatever that makes you, you. He said, eh? He said, yes, whatever that makes you, you. That's what I want. So he called his peer and said, this one wants book. Can't give him book. Give him a tape. Give. And then he said he was left alone with the man. I looked at him and said, what did you say you want again? He said, that's it I'm saying. I follow him. And of course, he said the last thing he remembered was the man put it on him. He went down. He said, all he remembered was opening his eyes and the guy was kneeling over him, speaking in tongues. It's not strange that this is happening. The first time when a monkey came to this Enugu, there are many stories of impartation. Pastor David Obueli then, the founder of Dominion City, the church was just a young church in this Enugu. Very young. They were in an uncompleted building. So when Rabonke was coming, so he told all his guys, he said, all technical team, everybody in this church should go and volunteer at that crusade. Are you getting the point? And they took everything in their church account, which was not anything according to him. And then he gathered it and went to the man. He said, when he got access to see the man said, what do you want? He said, I came to sow into your life. He said, eh? He said, yes. He said, your people, they don't give. Oh. They only come to take. He said, kneel down. He said, they put his hands on him. He said, he felt like the way, it's like, so people wait on you. He got up. In less than 2 years after that, that same ground that Bonky did that crusade, Pastor Philip was standing on that same place over the same crowd. He said, when he stood there, the Lord reminded him. That when he heard the man talk, he says things like, I carry seven anointings upon my life. I carry seven anointings upon my life. He said, one of them is this crusade thing. It was from Bonky. Now, there are things that happen. Things are not coincidences. Are you getting the point? You must have value for things that happen in your midst. Value for impartation. So the time for laying offense is a very serious period in any meeting. It's not a time you're looking around. Value it. Value is what makes it count. So Paul told Timothy, I read it again, 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. He said, neglect not. Neglect not. Now let me read to you with Passion Translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Getting blessed. Passion Translation, it says, don't minimize the powerful gifts that operate in your life. For it was imparted to you by the laying on of the hands of the elders and was activated through the prophecy they spoke over you. So gifts are activated when prophets are spoken. But you must not neglect it. Don't forget it. So Paul kept calling Timothy to that remembrance. Because if you mess with that moment and do not value it, you might just see it as another casual moment. And the value you place on it will determine, will determine how much value you will get from it. Let me put it that way. I get to the point. How do you explain? I'm going to go that very shortly. How do you explain that many people are touching Jesus, but one woman touched them and got it because she put value on the touch? Do you know? Let me say this to you. I can just be shaking everybody. How are you? Just moving. Somebody might put more value on my handshake and get a healing. I get to the point. Casual handshake. Like that's what I told you about Pastor W.F. Kumi and all that. He didn't know what he was praying for. I get to the point. Like, some of you know this story already. Last year, right? 10 days of light. A couple, you remember the story, right? Had given birth to their child. Child had refused to walk. They're still in this church. The child was not walking. They've gone to treat the child. Nothing was working. But she wasn't walking. They said, well, nothing. She'll walk one day. They kept promising and promising. And right on that day, I was blessing the children. Now, they didn't tell me. But the parents had done something. The mother said, today, pastor is going to lay hands on this child and this child will walk. And I didn't know. I just put my hands on all the children and just went my way. What did I say? You are blessed. But someone has put more value on that moment of blessing. Are you following what I'm saying? We prayed on Sunday. By the time they woke up the next morning, the child was up walking around by herself. No aid, no help. Because when you put value on those impartations, it brings you. And I have many stories like that. So I can put it on 10 people and it will mean different things to 10 of them. And it will be by the value they placed on what is happening. Why did the impartation work for Jacob? He valued the moment. And he valued enough to steal. That's bad, though. I'm just saying. He had to cook. Get the fattest animal. He had to even disguise himself. Are you following what I'm saying now? He put on Esau's clothes. Esau was hairy. He put on something on his body that would make him appear hairy. Such stress. I'm not saying he was right. I get to the point. But it's value. It's value. So how much value do you place on such moments? Such moments. And it will reflect. Paul told Timothy, neglect not. Many of us, since I was led to you last month, you've forgotten what happened that day. Because it was yet another day for you. And you wonder why there is no result. I have stories of impartation I can tell you. And I keep telling people here. The ease that the Lord blessed me with opening deaf ears came from an impartation in a meeting. In a meeting. I can't forget that day. But I've heard the man of God say, oh, how it is very easy for him to open deaf ears. He said to my head, that day he was saying, he said, you know, if I've laid hands on 10 deaf people, 10 of them will hear. He said, I have 99.9% success with deaf ears. And I told God, see this meeting I'm going for? That man is going to put that in on me. I can't forget it. Now, he didn't pray for that. He didn't impart anybody with it, but I knew what I was looking for. Are you following me now? It's about value. So whenever you see me miracle meetings, except the Lord says otherwise, I always like starting with, if I have a deaf ear, come out. It will work. And that came by an invitation. If you have a deaf ear, just come out first. Even if your ear has been blocked, it's a get back to you. Say amen. Many of you have that testimony here. If I ever minister to your ear here, let me see your hand. That many people. If I minister to you, your ear will open most immediately. But if your ear is blocked, as I'm talking now, it's opening now. I mean now, whether online or on ground. Some of you, wax will fall off your ear. And that came by a man put his hands on me. Because I heard the man share this. I said, oh God, I like this thing. This man is saying, no. I like it. Let me tell you. I said, some things are taught. Some things are caught. Now, many things I may not be able to tell you now. And I can't reach out to nine first. Let's finish our building first. I'll tell you many stories. Because I've seen exactly the same thing. The same things that happened when my pastor was building their church. Exactly the same thing. The same kind of result. The same kind of experiences happen. Yes. Because hands were laid. And words were spoken. I get to the point. Some things, if you like, go and read book on 13 ways to build church. Like them, hate them. It's not amazing that the largest churches in Nigeria come from one source, one spiritual lineage. In terms of building, Redeemed, Fathering Bishop Oyedepo, Abi, Fathering Dr. Paul Enenche, and Pastor Biome. The same people. Like them, hate them. Some things are working. Say whatever you want to say. Is just all about building? It's not. I'm just telling you. When something is already working in your father, if you understand the purpose of impartation, it can work in your life easily. Easily. You must place value. So, value. You see, another example is I always talk about all this. Do you know it was not only... Oh, Ayakara. 2 Kings chapter 2, let me show you. Oh, I wish we had time. Glory to God. I love the word of God. So, 2 Kings chapter 2, we read about how from verse 1, Elijah... And Elisha, they were walking. In verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. So he was trying to tell Elisha to wait, don't follow me, stay here. Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I'm not going to leave you. So they went out to Bethel. Verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that we had Bethel came to Elisha and said, knowest thou not? Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master? So Elijah had a school, had sons, spiritual sons, in Bethel and other places we're going to see very shortly. And the Lord did not hide that information that Elijah was going. That's why I always say to people, when a man of God dies, a big man of God, like when Dr. Mark died, that everybody started saying, the Lord showed me. And I told people, it's not off. It's not possible for such a man to leave this earth and the Lord will not show many people that are connected to him. It's not possible. But it's not a question of what they did with it. Because the Lord showed all of them that Elijah was going. So they were telling Elisha, are you the only one that does not know spiritual? Because our antenna is open. Are you following me this evening at all? Nobody doubts that the Lord will take away that mask from that. He said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Shh. I know. Now, see the next verse. But I'm taking you to somewhere. I'm talking about following the partition. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here. I prayed for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth, and I thought, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho. So he had a branch of his church. Do you follow now? In Bethel. He had another one in Jericho. And the Lord told all of them that Elijah was going. No way that the Lord will take away that mask from thy head today. And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. There are many things I can say about this. But I'll talk about it very shortly. Next verse. The two went on. Of course, they told Elijah said, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. Now, everybody, please watch what happens. And Elijah took his water and divided the river. And see verse 9. Let's just read verse 9, everybody. Ask what I shall do for thee, if I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked the hard thing, nevertheless, if it shall be so unto, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, so what is the condition? If you see me. But I'm going to show you something that you might not have taken note of. Verse 11. And it came to pass as they went still. Because remember, they crossed over the side of the Jordan and they were on the other side. As they were talking, a chariot of fire came and took Elijah by heaven. And Elijah shouted, my father, and all of that. And he took out the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he smote the waters. And what happened? Verse 15, I'm at 14 already. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophet which were to view at Jericho saw him. So actually, they witnessed the dividing of that Jordan. So the chances are some other prophets saw him being taken away. Because they saw when Elijah divided that. I feel what I'm saying. But none of them had what he got. It was valid. The Lord said he would take your man, master, away. As people called him. None of you dared to pursue him. Only one person was following from place to place. I get the point. The value. So even if there are 1,000 people that saw him being taken away at that point, only one person would have gotten it. Because only one person valued what was happening in that moment. We can stand here and speak. Paul said when the Thessalonian church received their words, not as mere words. People can see us as they are just talking. Another person can value that moment. And I'll tell you the next thing. The next principle of impartation that makes it work is honor. Honor for the minister. One, value the impartation to honor the minister. I already showed you the Bible said that the blessed is blessed of the better. So you must see that, because if you see us as Pastor Henry, that guy we know, it's just yet another experience for you. But somebody can place on it, this Pastor Henry, my pastor is anointed, they carry it, and he speaks over you. That's how it works. That's why, let me tell you something about impartation. A man you despise in your heart, his words will not work for you. It will not work. That's why when people begin to hate on their pastors in church, and they fight, I always tell them, you better fix that issue or leave that church. Because at the end of the day, if you don't fix it and you are there, you are just wasting your time. Do you see, Eli met Hannah and said, why are you drunk by this time of the morning? And Hannah didn't take offense. Hannah did not say, so you serve spiritual man like you. You could not perceive that I was praying. No wonder the Lord left you. No wonder within Israel, we've not heard any thought, says the Lord. Not one from you. Leave and pray, Joe. But even though the Lord had left the man in that sense, He said, my Lord, no drunk. I'm not drunk. That is burden in my heart. And Eli said, by this time next year. So the words of a man, in quote, who has lost the anointing, that was the known last recorded miracle of Eli. Are you following me? Because a woman honored him. When that is honor your heart for the anointed, the words work. The words work. So you see how they were clamoring, bringing those children to Jesus because they had honor for Jesus. In fact, I cannot believe, the whole prophets in 2 Kings chapter 2 kept telling Elisha, don't you know the Lord will take away your master from thee? Your master from thee. Your master from thee. When Elijah left, Elisha didn't say, my master. He said, my father. Their perception was different. I feel what I'm saying now. One thing, so Elijah asked, our master, our Oga, now you be cool. Oga does not transfer anything. It is fathers that transfer to children. Yes. The best Oga can do for you is to settle you. Oga can give you inheritance. Master does not give inheritance. Elisha was asking for the portion that belonged to sons, a double portion, firstborn portion. So that must be honor your heart. Are you following the point? Honor must be your heart. What's whoever is going to bless you? That's why, no matter what you do, don't stay angry for long over your blessers. See your father biologically, your mother biologically. Don't stand angry. So when they say God bless you, it will work. It's not following me at all. Because offense breeds dishonor. The foundation of dishonor most times is offense. There's a way you can actually walk in honor towards your pastor. That when he says a thing over you, the way it will work, he might say the same thing over many other people, but it will carry a different weight. I believe that parents carry that blessing. That's why you notice whenever we have our weddings and all of that, I must call parents of the bride and the groom to come and pray over their child. Then I will also pray as the pastor. Yes. But then, if your heart is not pure, rate your parents. Rating your parents, honoring your parents is an intentional thing. You know why it has to be intentional? Nobody used to see parents finish like children. Forgive the English. You know what I mean? All of us have seen our parents. If your father has any fault, If your mother has any fault, true or true. If your father is a drunkard, people outside may not know, but If your father used to carry women, others may not know, but there's no way the children will not know. Are you aware? Yes, they will know. They would have gone to his phone. Yes. If your father is someone that is any bad thing you can think of, you will know. So, walking in honor towards them has to now be a deliberate decision that I will honor them. Not because they are good, but because they deserve the honor. He said, why do they deserve the honor? I will tell you simply, because they are what no other person can be for you. Nobody can burn you again. Take the English letters. Nobody can burn you again. Nobody. And that's something related with your pastor. If you stay with your pastor for long, you will still see your pastor finish. Yes. Because it's family. Except the pastor is not around. If a pastor... I'll press like a visiting minister in his church, you will not know him. If a pastor really mingles with you, it's a question of time, you will know him, the good, the bad, the ugly. Are you following me? You now decide, I'm going to honor. Because it is in that honor. And I was joking with someone one day. I said, Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and his disciples, all of them lived in the same house. So if Elijah used to sleep and mess, Elisha would have witnessed it. It's a prophet mess. Honor is a deliberate thing. If he's to sleep and snore, you know. This is why many pastors don't like keeping their people close to them. Because, of course. But those guys, we are trained to walk in honor. That's why those. Do you know that? Now, this is very interesting. Do you know that historically, Elisha was older than Elijah? Are you aware? Shocking, Abi. So he was following a man that was older than. Yes. But that's why, you see, if there's no honor in your heart, we can speak for another tomorrow. That's why most times when impartations are given, there are postures you take. There are postures you take. You kneel. You bow your head. I can't be speaking words over here, just looking at me. In fact, let me. I'm blessing you. You are blessed. You say, yeah. Even me with the blessing will finish. Now that's not a joke. Oh. Let's say we'll finish. Do you know that I'm not giving that. Do you know there are things you do to aid the anointing? If you are prophesying to me and I want you to keep it going for 30 minutes, I know how to respond. And you keep going. If you go to prophesy to somebody and you say, is your name Jeremiah? The person looking at you. Say, I know Jeremiah. He say, yeah. He say, you know, I see you. Law faculty. You just graduated. He's looking at you. Is it not true? Yeah. I don't see that. Not my. You know, if you just go, yeah. Even yourself, the prophecy is there. The Lord bless you. But I say, when people respond to the anointing, so I'm telling them, I say, yes! Ah, you said, the oil, the aurora will just. You are not walking, not that prophetic move, just move around. He said, yeah. And I'm seeing you next. He said, yes! Hallelujah. That is on. I'm not saying it should be dramatic, I'm just telling you. There are people that don't know how to be honorable around the anointing. Something that, you know, if you've not mastered it, let me teach you. If you've not mastered it, run from the anointed. Stay with you, master it. I'm very serious too. So don't destroy your life. Are you following me? Stay away. I was telling mom some time ago, one of the things the Lord has taught me, there are a few people I know, you know, in the early days of this ministry, that I used to tell mom, I feel I played a role in these people being stupid. And she would say, why? I say, I brought them close too early. They've not been taught on the principles of whatever, and then they came close. So when that happens, it always becomes a ticket to their own destruction. Because they can't get blessed again. I get the point. For instance, if you're not very taught on, if you don't have much knowledge about honor, you're not an honorable person, don't marry a pastor. I get what I'm saying. If you're someone that normally despises people that are close to you, don't marry any pastor. If not, you will live in the same house with the anointing and you die sick. The same house with the healing anointing, you die sick. So, there is that person of honor that makes the petition work. So, whenever, here or anywhere, when there is honor for the anointing, it works. And then, of course, next is come with faith. Faith and expectation. Now, this is very important. Because sometimes, hands, now this is very serious, hands can be laid on you and no word is spoken. You know it can happen. Maybe in a meeting. Oh, take. Sometimes words can be laid on you, and what is spoken is an ambiguous statement. Something like, be blessed. No, be blessed is a very big statement. Be blessed covers everything. But if there's already an expectation in your heart, it channels those words. The woman with the issue of blood, touch. Jesus did not say anything. In fact, Jesus didn't lay hands on her. She laid hands on Jesus. But she had channeled her spirit. Are you following what I'm saying now? So when hands were laid, the anointing knew exactly what to do. When she touched, she didn't begin to say, in Jesus' name, I deliver healing. No. She just touched and moved. And virtue went because she has channeled that anointing. And so, when we are, that's why that it's good to have a special come for meetings. So that when hands are laid, the man of God may not know what he did, but you know what you received. I tell you, I received an anointing to open that. Yes, the man of God didn't pray for that thing on that day, but I had been praying about it from the day, from the one. You know, the story is long. I've not got to it. Because after I had a failed case, do you remember? We prayed for one girl that was deaf and dumb. The more we prayed, the more deaf she became. She prayed for over 10 times on different days. It's not be healed in Jesus' name. Like prayer. Shakarabata, umbrakata, gambrakata, kasha. Do you hear anything? She's just looking at you. Deaf and dumb. After that experience, that thing did not leave my head. What kind of embarrassment is this? And one, it's not only me. We're many. We're five. Everybody kept bringing what the Lord put in. And one would say, you know, I just sense that we should praise God. In the moment of praise, the tongue will lose. We start praising. I've seen things, though. I'm telling you, we'll praise around. That girl remained dumb and was more deafened. The next day, somebody said, you know, I just feel that like a demon, you know, tongue. Let's go back. I said, okay, demon, oh Jesus Christ. We saw other miracles in that land, but that particular girl, she didn't talk, she didn't hear even a bit. You know, it's good that if she wasn't talking fast, can I say is there, yes, nothing changed for the way she, they will bring her, is where they will take her back. And they kept bringing her because we were having other testimonies and other results in the land, so they kept bringing her. And we kept praying. That stayed in my head. 3 years or 4 years after, I prayed for another person that was deaf and dumb. My person heard and spoke. I was happy at all of that, but he stayed. It was almost 7 years after I met this man of God. Heard his tapes. And I witnessed some of those things in the Crusades. One of his sons those days was doing a crusade, a program. And they lined up. They went to a school of the deaf and brought people and lined them up. And he opened all the ears. One of the flow from his father. So when I heard, when I was going for that mass, I said, Father, you see this thing? I'm me and you. So when he was laying, that last day, he was releasing many things, financial break. I said, oh, financial care. Lord, me and you today, I want to be able to open deaf ears. I don't want to be embarrassed like that again. Because I had prayed. And the rest, they say, is history. But that moment, I caught something. And I knew I caught it. And then I had my opportunity. Deaf and dumb from birth. And there are two people that... Well, this story is so related because many people experienced that day. Many years ago, 2014. That's like 11 years ago now. Who was there? They have phantom from them. Open! What's your name? The Lord said, ask her her name. Ask for her name. Ask for her name. Call her name. She responded. Now, that was the easiest, and there's been like that. Miracle. So years after that, one of my sons, Pastor Chidi, organized a meeting in their village, and I lined up over how many people that were deaf. All I went to do in their ear was snap, snap, just like that. Every ear opened. Now that is impartation. I did not pray to break into seven realms. A man put something on me. I value it. But that day, the man didn't actually pray and say, I'm raising an anointing to open the verse. No,
but I came with that expectation.
So that expectation channels the flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We don't have time again, so I'll just...
So next is yield to the anointed. Yield to the Lord. Yield yourself to... You know, there's a lot I would have said about this, but I don't have time. Just what I mean, yield yourself, is respond to the anointing. People ask me things like, do you believe in people falling? Yes. Why do I believe in people falling? Because people fall. I can show you many scriptures in the Bible, scriptures where people fell when they came in contact with the glory of God. Some of them fell unconsciously. Some of them fell in honor and response to the anointing. For instance, in Revelation 1, I think verse 17, when John met that angel, so when I saw him, I fell at his feet and he laid it. So when John saw, he fell. Are you following me? When Abraham met the Lord in Genesis 17, he fell at his feet. That was honor and respect. And you can see all over the Bible. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark 17, verse 5, when the glory came, Peter and the rest fell. Bible said they fell, and in fact, they fell. Look at that. Next verse, verse 6. Verse 6 quickly. And when the disciples said it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. They collapsed. There are people that have had to fall in the Bible and they slept. So, people can fall. You can fall. Look at it this way. When Paul, for instance, on the way to Damascus, met with the glory of the Lord, he fell from his horse. He fell. Now, that one, it wasn't honor. He just collapsed. So, there can be falling, but listen to this. Should you now plan, where's the touch? I'm going to fall. No. What is the secret? Respond to the anointing. Let me tell you, when hands are laid on you, just be into the impartation. Receive all you can. If what comes to your spirit then is to kneel, kneel. If you feel overwhelmed to shout, shout. Just respond. I get to the point. If you feel like running, run. If you like laughing, just make sure that you are responding physically. Because like I told you, I can't be laying hands on you and prophesying over you. I look at me like this. Say, God knows I'm receiving it in my heart. No. Lambano is a practical thing. I'm receiving it in my heart. Are you in my heart? Even though I'm looking at you like this, I'm taking it. So if I have anything to say, say it. If I have anything to say, stop. I have nothing to say. I get the point. That's why you see sometimes when hands are laid, you see people kneel, you see them lie, you see them scream. Now, don't try. It's not acting, it's not drama. Now, let me tell you, when people fall, sometimes when people fall, when they scream, it's not always that they don't know themselves. Are you aware? Of course, there are times you will fall and you're unconscious, but there are times you will fall. You really know yourself. It's not like you don't know yourself. But just that you can feel something steering you from the inside. I get what I'm saying now. That is making you, so what you do, you are responding to it. Hands can be laid on you, and all that steps from inside is to begin to laugh. Laugh. So that is to cry. Cry. Just respond to that. That response is part of your receiving. I don't have time to show you many scriptures today. Because I really want us to close now. Are you following me? That's why you see people, they will meet the angel and they will prostrate. They will meet God, they will prostrate. That's part of their receiving. Let me teach you this. When hands are laid on you, I wish you can get into that, but when hands are laid on you and you fall, or you don't fall, or you stand, or you laugh, don't just walk away. Soak it in. What do I mean? Just stay there praying. There's no touch. You just fall down, walk away. What did you even receive? Do you even know? Because the thing is, you can't receive anything unconsciously. That's what I'm trying to tell you. After every impartation, I should be able to ask you, what happened to you? You should be able to say. Or at least have an idea. Just what I tell you now. Stay there and pray. God will talk to you. God will open you. Because sometimes it's that prayer. How did I know that I received what could stop death, yes, and all that? Because I was praying. When the man ministered, I went under the power of God. I was praying. And the Lord said to me, that which you are looking for, I've given it to you. Yes. You know what they say? You fall, you stand up again. Let me fall again. I stand up. What are we doing? What are we doing? It's not a game. It's real business taking place. Now, whether you fall or not, we have some laid on you. Stay there until something, you know what happened to you. Sometimes you are privileged that a man lays us on you and speaks some prophecies. That can happen. What do you do when that happens? Pray too with those words. But sometimes in big meetings, you might not have time for all of that. Right? But you also can say, do you all of you want it over there? He said, take it. Take what? Sometimes the man has told you what you are taking. Sometimes he has said, there's a healing anointing I'm going to release now. That's one thing. Sometimes that is just his eyes sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, do you want something? Do you know when we say we want something and we just release that thing? Many people receive different things. It depends on what they came with. The fetcher. So when I say on you, and what you want to do is to scream, scream. You want to run, run. You want to shout, shout. You want to dance for joy, dance for joy. You want to laugh, laugh. So make sure you are not copying anybody. I can tell you, it's not like you're copying somebody. You're just doing what you're just responding. Responding. I dance to the rhythm of Yahweh. What is the music of my His voice is like music to my respond like that. Some of you, what you come to is to dance at that moment. That's why there's a level of packaging you cannot have if you want to receive from the Lord. Sometimes some of you lost what God has given you in that moment of trying to package yourself. Say, man, start laughing. Well, you just want to scream, scream, leave your temperament. He's asking your temperament. Hence, let on you. What is coming to you that time is to break down and tell you, say, how can big boy be crying? Better cry. Let's know what it is. Let's know what is doing you. Since you've not been crying, how so long? Yeah. Because many people think that when it has to do with things of the spirit, that if you're going to fall, you won't know yourself. There are times you really don't know yourself. When that happens, most times it's a trance that you're going to wake up with. Right? But then, you know yourself, but respond. And stay there responding and praying and praying and responding until you get what the Lord is doing in your life at that moment. Yes. That after every moment you can say, hence you are laid on me on so-so-so day. And this happened to me. Yeah. Because I told you cannot receive unconsciously. You have to know what you are receiving. I dance to the rhythm of Yahweh. His war is the music of my heart. His voice
is like music to my ears. Yahweh, dancing to your tune.
But that's what should be on your mind whenever you find yourself in that experience. What does God want me to do at this moment? Oh, so that says I laid on you, and all you want to do. It's just prostrate there. Have you not been praying in your private, in your closet? And hand of God will come up, you don't even know what to do with yourself again. So that's it's like you are job. Does it happen to you? Respond. So you don't know what you don't know whether to start scattering the room or start jumping up or start eating. Does it happen to anybody? Or start hitting your head on the wall. Yeah. It's not the way I say lay though. Yeah, it happens. I finished praying in my room. And I told myself, somebody enters this room, they would think that somebody ran mad in this room. Because the came to me, I was just, he just want to scatter things. He's not a demon. God is working out something in you that is too heavy for. So, I get to the point. Sometimes what is making you scream like that is maybe one revelation will just jump into your head. Or maybe one word will jump into your head. I just start shouting. There is a level of decorum you cannot have if you are going to receive from the Lord. All this one, they told you, yeah, yeah, glory, glory, glory. Glory for real? Ever seen where glory came? When you see glory come, you don't know glory. When glory comes, no glory came. We don't have all the details about the death of Pentecost. But we know they were not just speaking in tongues. How do we know? I always tell you, when you see people speaking in an unknown language you don't know, well, you wouldn't say they are drunk. But they were speaking and acting in a certain way. You see, these guys are drunk. So maybe Peter looked at James. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! So what's wrong with these people? And then John was one side doing. Ever seen people? Sometimes people are. Sometimes you watch yourself in the video after that. Say, what's wrong with me? Are you talking about one side doing? What's happening? We are all responding. We are all responding. We are all responding. And one person is at the floor, the other side. Sorting it out with the Lord. The right person, you know, I get the point. So respond. It's not about trying to I'm just packaging myself. Because this false, not false, yeah, but this not very correct teaching about an encounter. People think having an encounter with the Lord is maybe when you just lose consciousness and then you are in one realm. And when you come back, everybody has left the program. Now that can happen. But imagine that begins to happen every day you have an encounter. One day they will carry you in the bus and pass because God wants to encounter you at all times. But thank God we can be in our full consciousness and yet the Lord is dealing with us. Two more things. While you're standing, document it. Preserve the experience. Preserve the experience. Preserve it. Neglect not. Paul told Timothy. So Paul kept reminding Timothy of something that happened to him. He reminded him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. He reminded him of another experience in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He kept reminding him. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, he reminded him of when the presbytery, that's, there was an impartation of the elders laid hands on Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he reminded him of when he himself, Paul, laid hands on him. There are impartations you must remember. Document, so don't forget them. Preserve it, preserve it, preserve it. And then the next thing I'm going to say, which God will help us touch much later, is to act on the impartation after the impartation. After you've prayed the blessing, act on it. Whatever you are imparted for, whatever you received, you know, when Moses laid hands on Joshua, he received the spirit of wisdom, but nobody saw it. Come on. Nobody saw wisdom jump into him. But when he now began to lead and began to act, Bible said people now saw it and said, oh, it's because things were laid on him. So if Joshua didn't begin to act and do certain things when hands were laid on him, people would have known. Or that people would have walked. So when I lay on you for healing, for instance, you must act on it. Now, I wish I had time, but just no, act on it. After Saul had an encounter with Samuel, Samuel told him in 1 Samuel 10 verse 7, he said, when you leave here, do as the occasion serves thee. Do as the occasion demands. And what did the occasion demand after that experience? If you go to chapter 11, Saul heard that they had captured Israel at a point. And he gathered people and went to war. That anointing was working on him. But he had to do as the occasion demands. It was after that war that the whole land gathered and made him king. Yes. If he had just sat down, you know, he has been invited to be king. If he had just sat one place, nobody would have made him king. Are you following what I'm saying now? After he was led on Stephen, Stephen went forth and began to preach, and miracles began to happen. Philip did not step into it until chapter 8. Now, no new hands was laid on him again. But he just began to act on that one that happened in chapter 6. So when will you act on what God has spoken to you? If I lay hands on you and tell you, you know what? From now, there is financial explosion. If you leave there, act on it. act on it. So what do you mean by that? Act on it. Prayerfully act on it. Start a business. Push your business further. Knowing now with a different consciousness that it's no longer the same person that was here yesterday. This one now, hands has been laid. Are you following me, friends? Imagine I come to you and I tell you there's anointing upon your life to raise people. To raise young girls or to raise young people for the Lord. If you do not go out and begin to talk to young people, then there is nothing. Are you following me, everybody? You must act on it. Impartation becomes a reality, whatever you receive, when you can act on it. Yes. Immediately, Elisha received the anointing from Elijah. What did he do next? He took that mantle and struck the waters. He acted on it. If I actually receive it, let's test it. And he walked. As a grace upon you to open blind eyes, act on it. So where shall be our meeting? Where different distributions are made. Ooh. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune. Let's do like three times. I dance
to the rhythm of Yahweh.
Come on.
His voice is the music of my heart. His voice is like music to my ear. Yahweh, I'm dancing to your tune.
In any part of your organs, your eyes, your ears, any part of your heart, your chest, everywhere, the healing power of God is surging through and is cutting that infirmity off. Yes. So you get to begin to receive what God has given. Many of you, you will see growths fall off your body. You will see boils dissolve. You will see skin infections disappear. Dry up totally. I spoke about miracles and this is it already. Mental conditions have been fixed. Mental conditions. Psychological disorders are fixed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yahweh, I'm dancing.
your tomb.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Miracles are here. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I curse you, spirit. You spirit of infirmity. Get out from these bodies. Get out from these minds. Get out from these bodies. Be healed now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Hallelujah. So we're going to testify again and again. Are you ready for Zoe? No, by this time on Friday night, we should have been, on Thursday night, we should have been done with day one. Or thereabouts. Or we'll be done with day one by this time. Amen. But it's not just a Zoe teaching. That's actually how you receive invitations for yourself. Almost every meeting I've ever attended, I can tell you specifically what happened to me in that meeting. What I receive from the meeting. Every meeting. Are you following me? Every meeting. I wish I had time to share some of this with you, but just, are you blessed? Manage the one you had today. Everything can be imparted in the body of Christ. As in anything. Let me tell you, it doesn't mean you don't have work to do, but everything, let me tell you, even ability to teach can be imparted. Ability to understand Bible can be imparted. It doesn't mean that you now know what you don't know. It just means that when you now read, you understand differently. Ability to lead can be imparted. Ability to raise men, to build house can be imparted. You don't understand anything in the Bible. You see, it can be imparted. It will shock you. Because the thing is, once it is a working of the Spirit, it can be transferred. I said the thing is a working of the Spirit. Once the working of the Spirit, it can be transferred. And that's one of these smart sons do. When you notice that your father accomplishes a certain thing by the Spirit, just know that grace is working in him. Ask him to, yes, pay attention to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, pay attention to that. I mean, I can learn from you now. And even things that used to play out in my own life naturally will now begin to play out in your own life. That when I'm sharing testimonies, you yourself can relate because you've had some of those exact experiences in your own life. Let me give an example. There's a man called Reverend Tokumba Adejowo. That's Brother Tooks, we call him. National Director of Rema. Almost every vision and experience that Brother Egan has had, Brother Tooks have had it. I'm telling you, when he shares story, this story, very familiar. Like, he has eaten Brother Egan to a point. He has had, in fact, almost all the parents of Jesus, which just appeared to Egan, he appeared to him too. So, even experiences can be imparted. Leave it. Just get set. We're going to come forward. We'll be changed and transformed. We will not be the same. Are you looking forward to that conference now? Sunday will take a little more. Are you ready? Let's have our seat.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.